here, we would like to excuse Commissioner Catmull at this time, and we do have a vacancy with Commissioner Devlin resigning at the end of June, so we'll get maybe a staff a little bit later. But we do have four commissioners here, so anything that ends in a 2-2 vote technically fails, so everything will still have to have three votes, so we'll get those details as well. So that's our roll call. We also have members of city staff, so planning department, legal, city recorder's office, engineering, IT, and Matt. He's our man of all trades, so I don't know what department he's with. So thank you all for being here this evening, for those who may have joined us on Zoom.
IT.
So we'll go through our agenda. For those who are in attendance or watching online, we do have an amended agenda that was posted yesterday. So we will be going off the amended agenda, not the one that was sent out Friday, but the one that was sent out yesterday. And so the item B, motion to approve the agenda, would be off of the amended agenda. A, discussion to the item, the amended agenda.
Just a note that it removes the item on Shills Lane.
So if you are here for the gas central office rezone, that item has been removed from this evening's agenda. And will be heard at our next meeting on Tuesday, August 12th. Any emails that the city has received today will be part of that public record. County commissioners are received. And we encourage anyone who be intended to listen email before them to the instructions that are on the public notice. But because it is no longer on our agenda this evening, if approved, we will not have any open public comment for that item. Because there will be no staff report this evening, and also we are missing one of the two commissioners also. So with that, do we have a motion to approve the amended agenda?
Before a motion, just a point of order, staff, do we know why that was pulled this evening?
It was pulled because there was an improper notice, the sign that went on the property, Public Works, we thought, Miguel thought that Public Works would put it up on a Friday before, but the streets division on Friday did not, nobody was there to do it. So I got put up late, and so we decided to not bring it forward because of that improper, because it was gonna be brought up by somebody, so took it off.
And if I understand right, the people who were directly noticed were also noticed of the amended and never be on the system.
Yes, we realized this on Friday that it wasn't, you know, that it was didn't get put up. So Miguel sent out a notice to everybody who he did before that it was taken off the agenda. So,
okay. Any other further discussion to the amendment?
Approve the agenda that the city published yesterday, containing or removing the item.
I will second that. We have a motion to second to the motion by Commissioner Hall, second by Commissioner Gage. Any discussion to the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4 in favor. So, before we move on to the next item, if you are here for the best dental reason, that item will not be heard this evening. However, you are welcome to stay and see how we roll up here on the commission, how we conduct business. So, on August 12th, when it will be heard, you guys kind of know the flow and are one step ahead of everybody else. We'll drop down to item number C, which is the minutes from our June 24th, 2025.
Chair, I move that we approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes from June 24th, 2025.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Hall, second by Commissioner Gage. Any discussion to the motion? All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? That motion passes 4 in favor. Okay, this takes us to item number D, which is our staff business. I will look to my left, audience right. First, Mr. Priest, Mr. Schindler, Mr.
Greg Scott.
Mr. Schindler.
I have two things. First of all, you mentioned we're missing a, besides Steve, but tonight we're missing a planning commissioner. I found out today that Councilman McGuire has chosen someone that it will be, he'll be, the person he's chosen will be presented to the city council. I'm not sure if it'll be August 5th or the August 19th meeting, but it looked like there was openings. I mean, Dustin responded that there's openings on either meeting that he could come, that he might be able to be approve that, so.
Great, and once that individual is sworn in, ready to go, then after that time, there's a live meeting, we put training for us all, so we can get our, complete our 4-hour requirement.
And speaking of training for you, there's an opportunity for you to get a lot of training if you'd like to attend the Utah chapter of the APA conference, fall conference, which is coming up this fall. We can register and we'll pay for your your time there for the registration fee and so forth. I'd like to know if and it's going to be the actual conference is October 9th and 10th, and it will be at the Gateway and the depot down there at Gateway. So that's where it will be. And then if you're interested in going, I'd like to know hopefully sometime next week before the end of next, well, sometime next week as quickly as possible so we can get you registered.
Newer commissioners as well. I learned a lot there in my years, probably decades ago. So thank you for that invitation. And yeah, reach out and for sure.
And we can, and so for those, who do go, we can discuss like with our the director and the attorney how much, how many hours of training you would get by going to that meeting. So
we can carry them over.
I don't know about that.
Just try.
So.
Okay, anything else?
That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Flip to the right real quick. Okay. Move on to item number E. Any comments for the planning commission members? I'll look to my right. Mr. Bishop first, Ms. Hollis, Ms. Harden, please.
So we did have a brief conversation about this prior to, and I just recommend that we come up with a way where it can be documented for those so that we know what to do when an email comes. And be it in our bylaws, be it in just an understanding so we're all consistent. Do we forward it? Do we not forward it? Who responds to it? Things of that nature. It's just my first time getting a direct email. So I would just like that on a future agenda or...
Or if we could briefly talk about what, you know, you typically we follow city staff rules. For citizen communication or in rules meetings. Obviously, the Utah public open meeting bond too. So just, we don't need to discuss this evening, but if you know off the top of your hand, which would be the formal way so we don't, so we protect ourselves in the city in case of direct communication from constituents.
Okay. All right, we can probably come up with something by maybe next meeting, what the actual, I mean, I think, the staff probably know what you're supposed to do, but to get it in writing, we'll probably have to, we can come up with that.
Anything else from the commissioners? Okay, our next meeting, August 12th, all be in attendance. Hopefully, I'll follow up with Mr. Campbell, and hopefully we have a meeting number 6, and then we'll see if we reshuffle the seating order. Okay, we have no items under our summary action section. Or item G, section G of action, which will take us to our administrative public hearing items. These are items which this body is the final deciding body for these items. So any action we take tonight will be the final notice. We have two items under the administrative public hearings. The process for these is we will first be presented with a report from the staff on the item. Then we will have the commission will ask questions at the staff. Have to offer the report and their presentation. Following that, we will first open it up to the applicant to add anything additional to that report. Following that, we will have the general open public meeting of that item. Each member who is here to testify will approach the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record. You have up to 3 minutes to present any evidence or testimony directly on the item that we are discussing. The commission will not directly answer the testifier. But we will collect those and use those for our deliberation and discussion and try to get some answers. And then we'll lead to a motion. That's how it works. So our first item is item H1, which is the Daybreak Commerce Park, Class 4 amended for property located at 704 10360 South. Dominion Engineering, Will Carey is the applicant, and Mr. Schindler will be presenting us with this item.
Thank you. I'll see if we can. The right picture up on the screen for everybody.
Commissioners, are you hearing things out of us? I'm not really hearing people speak through the box.
Like, I've never used the box.
Oh, really?
Ever, so.
Like, I rely on it to hear people, so I didn't know if maybe they weren't turned on.
Is it?
Which box? Always.
Like, mine's all the way up, and I don't hear you when you're talking.
I can. Can you hear me? When I'm talking now, I guess I can. I can go ahead and start. This application is known as the Daybreak Commerce Park Number 4 Amended. Commerce Park is a subdivision is located as far as north and west as you can get in our city. It's the far northwest corner. As you can see, West Jordan is across the street, and the Bacchus Highway is right where this application, which is unincorporated Salt Lake County. The main things, I think the biggest thing that this subdivision is doing is dividing that acreage into five large industrial lots, and also extending Crimson View Drive out to Bacchus Highway. So it'll have a connection to the highway now directly into the business park there. There's really not much else to add to that. We don't have anything proposed yet for what's gonna be built on these, but it'll be industrial uses, so.
Thank you, Mr. Schindler. Does commission have any questions for Mr. Schindler at this point? Okay, thank you. We, as you know the drill, we'll maybe have something for you after public comment, if any. Is the applicant present here this evening for this item? Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. So we will go ahead. I'm getting an echo, so I'm going to turn off this.
Can the audience hear me? I'm okay, thank you. At this point, I'd like to open this portion of the meeting to the general public. Any member of the public who would like to give testimony on this item, the time is yours to approach the microphone. And again, give us your name, your address, and you have up to 3 minutes to give us any testimony or evidence on this item. One last call for the public meeting. Okay, we will close the public hearing and take it back to the commission for discussion. Any last questions? This seems public to call.
I actually have a question. I'm trying to understand the intent of the circle. Is that going to be the only access to these properties, and then they'll access across one another's parking lots?
There's Crimson View Drive along the south side of it. This is the road that's going to continue out.
Okay, but then what's the purpose of the cul-de-sac in the middle?
The cul-de-sac in the middle will give an extra access to those two lots there, because they're larger, and then the biggest lot has access also off of Wiregrass. So it's, but then the two smaller lots that toward the end, we're only going to have access only off of Crimson View, so the drive.
Oh, Mr. Bishop.
I did have a question. I'm just curious. We're amending the plat, right? The subdivision, et cetera. Is this also a road, like, what's it called?
Dedication. Road dedication? Yes. Well, this plat will be dedicating the extension of Crimson View Drive, and also that the cul-de-sac is all included in the when the subdivision is recorded, that dedication will happen.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, seems pretty straightforward. Anyone have any other concerns or would like to make a motion?
I can make a motion.
Okay, please.
I move that the Planning Commission approved file
Commissioner Hardy?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hollister?
Yes.
That motion passes 4 in favor, so bill to the applicant, I believe, that was report. So that will take us to our next item under administrative public hearing items, which is item H2, the Atwell Suites site plan for a property located at 10526 South Jordan Gateway. And Zach Andre and the Richardson Design Partnership LLC are the applicant, and Mr. Drozdek will be.
Thank you. Okay, so this is the property. It's at 10526 South Jordan Gateway. The property, as you can see, is vacant and undeveloped. It's about 2 acres in size. The zoning on the property is CF, which stands for commercial freeway, and the proposed use is a permitted use on this property. As you can see, this is the proposed layout. Most of the parking is to the west and the south of the building. There's going to be 2 access points to the hotel, one to the north and one to the south of it. And those access points are shared with those nearby businesses. As for the landscaping, there's going to be no sod with this project. Sod is not allowed per city code with these types of projects. There's going to be various types of ground cover, trees and shrubs. And as you can see, there's also going to be trees in the park strip along Jordan Gateway. As for the building elevations, this is the finished product or what it's going to look like once finished. Majority of the exterior finish is EFS. The building tops out at 50 feet in height. And there's going to be around 84 or maybe 88 rooms in the hotel. So, yeah. So with that, again, it's a permitted use. It meets the city code, and therefore the staff recommends approval. So.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to go first. I have one question.
Okay.
The staff report mentioned 88 parking stalls for 88 rooms.
Oh, yes.
So what? But is there any parking requirements for the, I guess, hotel staff?
Right.
Is there any requirement, or is our code just specifically one stall per
room? Yeah, no for staff. It's one per room, essentially. Yeah. I guess the assumption is it's not going to be 100% occupied, I guess. Yeah.
That's the only question that I had. Oh, sorry, one more. I did see in the staff report that I did go to our committee.
Yes.
And on that, I did notice that we did have a planning commission representative attend the meeting on that, but there was. Looks like it was pretty well attended. I just want for the general public to make
yes.
Listening that it did go without.
It did. Right? Yes.
One note though that the applicant decided against incorporating the suggestion that the art committee had recommended. I take it that the art committee's recommendations aren't necessarily binding.
It is a suggestion or a recommendation, since it's not required by city code to have an amount of rock or stone or brick, since it's not required by city code, they do not have to do it. So it is something that the ARC recommended, but again, since it's not required by city code, they're not obligated to do it. It's a recommending body, basically, so they don't. I believe it's a standard hotel, but maybe they can. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anything else for staff?
Commissioner? Yeah, I've got two questions. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the approach to the building. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like a really hard U-turn as mm-hmm. you approach, and then you come back up to the front. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, but it's because of the grade. They're trying to make that grade, and that's the reason for that turn.
Yeah,
to the south? Is that the one you're referring
to? From the south.
Yeah. That's the reason why, because it's going up the hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing I wondered is, with a building like this, do you need a truck sort of bay? You know, like big truck delivery type of...
I imagine they may need to come in from time to time, but it's something that they've taken into consideration, I'm sure.
Yep, and it's not like a full serve.
We'll wait till you approach the microphone.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll wait on
the
phone.
Make sure we get it on.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay, yeah, I think we're going to get the staff or the applicant ready, but just one other thing for Mr. Green. We want to make him feel participatory tonight. So this is right off Jordan Gateway on the west side of the street. Any concerns with vehicular traffic crossing Jordan Gateway going north, accessing this, because also that sometimes backs up as people exit the Front Runner Station or Jordan Gateway to turn onto 104th, South Jordan Parkway. So any concerns, or is that, I don't believe that's already raised, this double line crossing the flow of traffic, but any concerns from a traffic engineering?
Right, we looked at it, but we don't have any concerns with it.
Yeah, it's probably because of peak hours. All right, we might have some more questions there.
Okay.
Thank you. At this point, we'd like to invite the applicant. I believe they are present. We've got more time than theirs. You guys don't have a 3-minute warning. So you guys, as much time as you have, just come to the microphone, give us just your name for the record, so that we can, if you've heard a few questions we have, but you are feel free to add anything additional.
Demir did a great job. I won't add too much. But yeah, it's not a full service kitchen, so loading and unloading is very minimal. Taggart Harris with the architecture company, Richards Design Partnership. So yeah, minimal in and out loading. There's some strategic loading doors around that we can use parking lots, and that main entry is, you know, favorable for that as well. But sure, and that is on site, so yeah, that's it. Any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Mine is just on the parking, 88 stalls for 88 rooms.
So 84 rooms, so we have some additional rooms, yeah. Yep, and again, it's not always fully occupied. In fact, you know, 75% occupied. Absolutely, yep.
Sorry, Ms. Hart, what type of hotel is this, long-term stay?
It's short-term, yep, standard. Yes, the Atwell brand is very new, which is part of the reason why we didn't have a lot of flexibility on the design. IHG holds their design, you know, of this initial product, you know, pretty clear. So when we pushed to get stone and some other products on the exterior, we were shut down hard. So because it fit within the alignment, you know, we were hoping to make that adjustment, but the brand wasn't allowing it. Yeah, the idea here is that we're capturing a lot of people coming from the airport that are moving south. So based on their pro forma, this area, this location, there's a couple other hotels. And I think just the site itself has been pre-graded. There's sort of it has its two access points there, which is another reason why we're not proposing a new access point. There's two shared accesses there. But the hope is to capture a lot of people coming from the airport. Yeah.
We have recently, as a body and the city council, has approved a new pickleball development that is within almost walking distance. Will you guys have any type of hotel shuttle to the airport and north of that location that people who are attending pickleball tournaments there would be able to?
You know the owner, Ben. What are your thoughts on shuttles or?
I don't believe there's any plan for an airport shuttle.
Oh, yeah. We need to have it come up. Or you translate the letter. Sorry.
I'm Ben Smith with Zadok Construction. I represented the ownership. So to my knowledge, there's no plan for an airport shuttle. The distance is significant enough that it doesn't make sense to have a shuttle. And then to address further, shuttling to other local events could be a possibility. I don't know that our clients are aware of the plans for the pickleball court. I think they'll be glad to hear that, and I'm sure they would love to incorporate that into the business model. So I know they're online watching right now, so I'm sure they now know. So, and then just additionally, we just appreciate the consideration and all the help that we've had from the planning and engineering departments. So if you have any other questions, I'm happy to address those too. Okay, thank you very much.
Further discussion to the motion? Okay, this will require a roll call vote as well. So, Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hardy?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Great, that motion passes 4 in favor, so congratulations. You are approved and wish you luck. And again, we thank you for being here this evening. It's always a benefit for us when the applicant's present, so when we do have questions, we can get those answered directly. But again, good luck and thank you for considering South Jordan for the first location. That closes our administrative public hearing items this evening. And this evening, again, if you are arriving late, we only have one legislative public hearing item this evening. It is item I-1, the Howland Zone Change, the property located at 94 South Redwood Road. Tina Franco of Howland Partnership is the applicant, and Mr. Drozdek will again be presenting this item. And as he comes up again, if you are here for the best rezone, that was removed from this evening's agenda, so this will be the last item this evening, but feel free to stick around and see how we add a legislative public.
Thank you. Can get the presentation? Maybe? Oh, okay. Do we need a presentation?
It's part of the staff report, so it's already a publicly noticed, so I think we can go ahead and do that.
Unless
Mr. Simonson, unless he feels that my interpretation would be wrong.
No, I think you're correct.
Okay, thank you. So go ahead.
Okay, so this property is at 9450 South Redwood. The property itself is about 3 acres in size. About eastern half of the property is zoned PO, which is professional office, and then the west part of the property is zoned A1. So on the west side, on the east side of the property, there's an accessory building that's been used as an office for business use. And that stems from a few years ago when the property was rezoned to PO since the applicant wanted to run the business out of that accessory building. This rezone is asking or seeking to change from PO to A1 to match what's existing on the west side of the property. And the reason for the change or for the request for a zone change is because the business is moving to Murray. So they're moving to a different location. Their business office is not going to be run out of this property anymore. So there's no reason for them to keep commercial zoning on the property, which just means that they're paying higher taxes if it remains commercial. With that, this is information that we have. Staff, we have no reason not to recommend approval based on what we're being told. The business is moving out, and if there's no business, there's no reason to keep the zoning commercial. And with that, I'll turn it over for any questions. Yes, it's a single. Yes.
Zoning?
Yes. It's
weird. Will the entire 3 acres conform to the requirements of A1 as far as coverage, building usage, etc.?
Yeah.
Even with the parking lot.
What do you mean usage?
It can only cover a certain percentage.
Well, that's with buildings, not pavement.
Okay.
Yeah. They're here.
Then I may ask this in a moment, but I'm curious about what the residential accessory use is of that, what that building will become essentially. And then there's an additional building. So just what the use will be for all of these various things. And then I assume this is not also coming with a guest house or an ADU request, right?
Not for now, but that's not to say that it's not going to be back in front of you in the future. But right now, no, there's no request for a guest house or an accessory ADU. Yeah.
So for the current existing business, that would have to come in front of us to convert it into an ADU, correct? Because I'm guessing the square footage would make it require the commission's review.
I haven't looked at the square footages, but yeah, if it exceeds, it'll come back to you. Yeah. If it doesn't exceed, then it's gonna be approved by staff, and then you don't get to see it. But it just depends on the size, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so I just have a couple. With being A1 and being 3 acres, they would be afforded animal rights again on this property.
Yes.
Now, if they were to subdivide in the future, they could go to 1 acre lot size because it's A1.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
But if they wanted to go anything smaller, it would have to go through another rezone.
Yes.
To accomplish something smaller.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay, that's all I had. Left the last call for staff at this point.
So help me understand with all the parking and everything, are they required then to approve that?
Remove it? No.
Okay,
no. They're not. No. Because in A1 or A5 zone, you can still have a single family residence. You don't need to be growing crops or having farm animals. You can have just a home on an A1 zone property. So yeah, no, they're not required to make changes to it. I mean, you could still have a parking area even in front of your home if you wanted to.
What does that change as far as taxes for the two different zones?
I think it's the county, maybe they can answer that, but the county assesses them at a higher rate if it's commercial.
Good.
Yeah.
For
yep.
Maybe
have
some questions after.
Okay.
At this point, we'd like to invite the applicant, same rules as the previous, they can come forward if they like, and add any additional testimony. I believe that there may be a couple of questions for Commissioner Hollis at least. So feel free to come to the microphone, give us your name for the public. like to add to the mayor's report, the staff report we received, and then we may have a few questions.
I'm Gary Howland. I'm the owner of the property. I've lived there for about 26, 27 years. The office has been my office. I've walked to work for 20 years. And so we are now in Murray. We actually have already moved the office, and so our offices are in Murray. We moved in April. And so my daughter would like to see a horse put in the office, but I don't want the horse to go in the office. So at this point, we are not sure what we're going to do.
Thank you for that. Any questions for the applicant at this point?
So what is the purpose of changing if you don't really have to do anything to the property? What's the benefit of changing?
Right now, because only a portion of my property is residential per the county records, and part of it is commercial, I'm only able to deduct, if you will, the property taxes relative to, and get the exemption on the residential exemption on a portion of the property. By putting all the property in as residential, I'm able to claim the entire property as a residential property, our primary residence.
Thank you for explaining.
You bet. Most likely, between my wife and I have, we 9 children and 18 grandchildren. I imagine that with the bathrooms and the offices that convert pretty easily into bedrooms, that kids will want to move in with the price of housing, and so I don't know. So right now, we haven't really decided.
And you would be aware of the process to get
that? Yeah, we would go through an accessory dwelling permit. Yeah, that's the other thing that we wanted to make sure is if we did the rezone, that it wouldn't be available, the accessory dwelling wouldn't be available under the commercial zone.
You know the current square footage?
It's 5,000 square feet.
Current residence?
My current residence, 10,000 square feet. The office is 5,000. The vacant office is 5,000 square feet. Yeah. Yes.
I was just going to say, I didn't expect the whole time I'd be on the Planning Commission for someone to see property go from commercial to A1. So,
especially from a commercial developer, right?
So, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else?
Just one more question. What is this building at the edge of the parking lot where it jogs over to where the pool is? Not by the pool, but on the eastern.
It was my wife's salon when we got married about 23 years ago. She cut hair, and so she had a business license and was cutting hair at the time. She no longer, she cuts hair, but now it's just for the grandkids and her friends. So it's not a business. Likely it'll be a pool house. You know, we have a swimming pool and a lap pool and a hot tub and a pavilion, and so it'll be probably become part of that with a pool house, change room.
We don't already have a pool house?
We have, we only have a single bathroom with the pool house, has all the equipment in it. It doesn't have a change room. So, yeah.
Anything else for the applicant? Okay.
Thank you.
August 5th, yeah.
So the August 5th meeting would be heard based on our recommendation on that. So at this point, we'd like it open to the general public. So any member of the full public who is here this evening to give testimony on this item, the same will apply. Please come to the microphone, give us your name and your address, and you have up to 3 minutes to discuss with the commission.
You back there. I waved to you that I couldn't hear you. You ignore me, but that's okay. My name is Giovanni.
I need you to speak into the microphone, sir.
How come you didn't speak in the microphone when I asked you to?
Okay,
how come? Okay? Don't. No, no, don't.
Okay, you sure?
I will leave then. If you
can address the commission per our rules, or you can sit down and be.
That's right. That's right. I will put the microphone, but I still have the right to voice my opinion. Or are you going to kick me out for voicing my opinion?
So please give us your name for the
topic. I already did, sir. You see what I'm saying? I wave to you. That's the issues that I have with you people. I'm going to start with my question. What does the future consequences or bearing over adjacent properties this change would have?
Again, we will not directly answer any questions. We will write them down, and once public comment is over, we will discuss them.
Okay, that's my main concern. What is the future consequence to adjacent properties in the future? Because if that I would like to know, and I wouldn't like to find out after your approval. I would like to know before any decision is made. I wasn't going to voice my opinion, but it seems like you forced me to. Okay. It seems like the system is always designed to favor the well-to-do, and South Jordan City is not the difference. We always seem to comply, make changes to those who we want to favor. Like, for example, I heard a few questions here. What's going to happen to that building? Oh, well, we don't know. We'll see. Well, if it's moved, there's no need, because then it would be out of compliance with city ordinances about roof if it's going to be used for residence dwelling. And why are we going to agricultural, like he said? I've never seen anybody go from, you know, residential to commercial and then back to agricultural. And obviously the reasons, I'm not stating them, I'm repeating them. Tax purposes. Why am I being forced to pay residential and to accommodate somebody? We're going to allow them to turn it into agriculture for a tax deduction? I don't see the equality there. I don't. And that's the one of the issues that I do have. We always favor those whom we want to favor. And we even ignore those who we don't. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. The good thing about it is we only have 100 years or less. And I hope for a better world where things are much different. I would like an answer to my question.
We will not be
Yeah, not today. You stated it. But I'm restating. I would like an answer to my question. Okay. And just to understand and voice your questions, what are we doing with the buildings that are now going to be used? Okay. I have my own opinion. Business is still going to be run out of that location, but so will it be. I think I'll leave it at that today.
Yes, thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here present? I want public comments. We'll invite you to come back. Anyone else here present in the chamber this evening who would like to give public testimony on this item? Okay, seeing none, we will close public comment on this item, and we'd like to invite the applicant to address any items that may have been raised in public comment before we ask staff to help us with any questions. The applicant, typically, I believe that's our process, is we invite the applicant to come forward and address any items raised in public hearing. And I just want to move you to Mr. Hollis, because I believe that's our process. So please, Mr. Hollis, please. You have the right of rebuttal.
Thank you. I don't have any rebuttal. I know Mr. Perez and his wife, and they're very nice, friendly people. I think a lot of the problem that has occurred is just a lack of understanding of when he said what's going to happen to his property. When I zoned this property commercial many years ago, at the same time, his property and the adjoining property, and Demir could probably answer this question if it still is that way, but I think from Redwood Road back to the rear of the office, it is commercial, and it was zoned commercial that many feet. So Perez's home is not zoned commercial, but it is probably taxed as a residential. And as far as the taxes are concerned, where Mr. Perez says that the taxes in agricultural are less, that is incorrect, because it is taxed based upon the market value of the home as a residential home. And so it's still taxed as residential. It's just that the, when we were meeting with staff in the city, they felt that it was most appropriate to take it and put it back to the original zone of agricultural 5 because we had the 3 acres. But it wasn't for us for any particular financial reason at all. Thank you. So Perez would be where my driveway is. There's a home right next to it that's a rental home, and Mr. Perez would be the next home that would be north of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anything else for that?
But again, I apologize if Mr. Perez, if in any way we've offended him, you know, and hurt him in any way. But I believe the question that he was seeking is wanting to make sure that his property wasn't going to be downzoned from the commercial zone that it currently is to residential, but I can't speak for Mr. Perez. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So, we've had the staff report, applicant testimony, public comment, and official comments. So, bring it down to the commission. Again, this is a legislative public hearing item, which we make a recommendation to the council. So, we had a couple of questions raised during the general public comment. The applicant addressed some, but obviously anytime there's a rezone of any property in the city, there could be future implications of surrounding properties. Looks like we have single family residents, Redwood Road, which is government owned, and two single family residences. So I'm seeing A5, A1, and R25, and RN6. So I mean, this isn't a spot zone, I believe, because it's an A1 neighboring. But I guess there could potentially be a impact to a neighbor.
So with bringing animal rights onto this property, which apparently weren't available previously, this is new?
Well, as long as it's a half acre lot, if it's an agricultural zone,
okay.
It has to be a minimum half acre.
Okay, so I'm not sure why animal rights came out, but they already had rights on the residential portion, but if the zone isn't the same adjacent, we'll need to put some fencing in with bigger animals on site, some new barriers.
Confirm the current zone of PO does not have animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then is fencing, if the properties that are residential, not the agricultural properties neighboring, do those require the standard fencing requirements to divide zones with animal rights?
So that map that shows it surrounding with the same zoning, or?
So if it put animals on the PO zone, I would argue the RN6 zone to the south would require barrier fencing. I'm not sure about the zone on the north, because that doesn't fit A5 and would probably have animal rights.
I believe there is a 6 foot or an 8 foot masonry along the south,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure about the west or the north boundary.
The answer to that would be if not the applicant that has the horse on it or animal, because it's usually the other properties that have to put up the fence to protect their property. If they want to put up a wall, they can. But the in any case, it's and it only happens that ever never required to put up a wall or fence for animals. That might be unless you're developing, you're the developer you're causing the issue with being the developer of it. So if this property here ever puts any animals on it, the surrounding ones that if they don't have a fence now, they'd have to put their own up. But
so usually it's done with development.
Right.
Like we'll have somebody come in, ask for a zone change, and usually they want higher density as opposed to what's next to them, which they have farm animals. So usually it's done with development, and like Greg was saying, developer puts it in. But in this case, this is reversed. They're downzoning, and there's no development. So in that case, I'm not sure that we can force them to put a fence since there's no development happening. Storage would be one of them. If they have farm animals, I guess they could turn it into a barn, I guess. They could do storage of different things. They could be a garage. It could be a guest house. A detached accessory dwelling unit.
But they would have to get an application. But they said 5,000,
but
that requires an application, does it not?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sorry. I was nodding. Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then again, to address the concern.
But again, it depends. If they keep it under 1,500 and the rest is storage, in that case, you know, we're speaking hypothetically, they wouldn't have to come back to you.
Okay. And then also for clarification, it can be a single accessory dwelling unit, correct? Meaning they can rent up to 1,500 square feet of that building, but not multiples of.
Right. Just one ADU per property. They can't have more than one ADU. Yes.
He had one more concern. I wanted to business. That's what his concern was. So again, moving agricultural, could not run a business out of either of these buildings that were previously commercial.
That's what we're being told. I mean, that's what we're going off. I mean,
I'm not asking what you're being told. I'm just saying what would be allowed to address what that resident was concerned about.
Business-wise, is that? What you're asking?
He was concerned businesses would still be run out of these buildings.
There would be no business if it's owned agricultural. There would be no business being run.
That's all I'm asking.
So no home
occupation. Okay, I was confused. Mm. About
home occupations have to be operated out of the home, not anywhere else, too.
Yeah.
So.
I think that probably addressed all of his emails left.
Well, the last item is he did mention before a decision was made, and we are not, again, as a legislative item, we are not making final decision. It would be made by the city.
And thank you for speaking up. I'm sorry, for some reason today I'm not hearing people.
Well, he did hear it all.
What's the 1,500 square
feet? So for an accessory dwelling in a guest house, it has to be the smaller of 35% or 1,500 square feet. And so the largest it could potentially be a 10,000 square foot home as the primary would have to be 1,500 square feet, whatever the larger of the two.
And so of that 5,000 square foot building, you could run a business or rent out 1,500? Please clarify. Still need an application and qualifying.
Yeah, if it's less than 1,500 or less, it goes to staff to approval. If it's more than 1,500, it would come back to us as a conditional use permit. Is that or an ADU permit? Sorry.
It's an ADU permit.
And I have one other question. On that map with the green, blue, yellows on it, it's got three different greens, and up in the right hand corner it says A5, but nothing is next to the PO. Is that also an A5 or is that an A1? Because I believe Mr. Alvarez's property then would be the next one.
His property is the second home to the north, or the second property to the north of this property.
North, right?
Yes, on Redwood.
Which is the pale yellow?
Yeah, so it's a Redwood Road mixed use zone.
So what is that first green? What's that zone mean then?
It seems to be A5. It's one of the A zones. I think it's A5. No, they're, oh, these ones over here. I think they're R2.5. Are the ones to the north? Is are those the ones here?
Yeah, the properties to the north are R2.5.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually do it with development. Again, there's no development here, so we didn't do one.
I think she means we used to with rezone applications. We would know what's the financial impact, and we don't do that at all anymore.
Well, we do with development.
Not with the rezone. Just a straight rezone. We don't. So.
Is obviously important to our city, and Julie always opposed anything that removed the commercial potential.
I agree that this by itself doesn't help with the housing, but I understand that the plan, the future plan is to, like, I, as a grandparent myself, got kids, I don't know where they're going to live.
And then me, as the guy who grew up on a farm here in South Georgia with less and less of those, someone actually wanted to come in and make an animal horse property, that tears my heartstrings a little bit as well, because, you know, South Georgia was known for years as kind of the agricultural community, and gone the opposite direction maybe recently. And of course, my family's guilty of that more than probably anyone. So I see both sides. And this is also on Redwood, which, you know, on the northern part of that city, which is almost like a gateway to the city as well. So, you know, I suspect the applicant would make it high quality horse property as well, which might entice visitors and potential future residents. So it could be I can see both sides. Sure. Of course, I think we'd have a lot more people here if we zoned to a higher density zoning in this area based on previous experience.
So I just want to say for the record one last time that commercial use will not be allowed in these outbuildings, and additionally occupancy as a residence isn't allowed without an accessory dwelling unit permit. So I just would like that on the record. And should we approve this? Or should it be ultimately rezoned and approved?
Yeah. And again, we'll be making either positive or negative recommendation. I think I'm fairly confident that City Council listens to all of our recommendations. Based on some recent items we've recommended to them, so I'm in favor of forwarding a positive recommendation. That's just my feeling. And so for the reasons that I previously shared, recognize that with some residency, it could be some impact and some neighbors, but I think actually, you know, that might be better to be less traffic flow without commercial use there and just truly residential agricultural on that. So there might be some benefits and some less
commercial to agricultural slash kind of residential use. So I think that might see some overall benefits to see, with the exception to potential less tax revenue, which is a small portion we get from the county on that piece. So that's my piece. Mr. Bishop, any thoughts you want to before we do a recommendation? Ms. Harding and Ms. Hollis? Then we'll take steps. Your district.
It is my district. All right.
I'll defer.
All right. I move that the Planning Commission recommends that the City Council approve Ordinance Number 2025-05Z, approving the zone change as discussed this evening from professional office to A1 stable neighborhood.
We have a motion by, I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Hollis, second by Commissioner Getch. Any future discussion to the motion? This one will also require a roll call vote, so Ms. Hollis.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Getch?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hardy?
Okay, yes. That motion passes 4-in-favor, so there'll be a positive recommendation to the City Council, which will finally be heard on their August 5th meeting. And we wish the applicants good luck in your next step. So City Council will probably have very similar process and items on that. So that concludes our legislative public hearing items and actually all of our items this evening. So we'll take it back. So generally, this is where we ask Mr. Schindler, what do we look like August 12th? I know we have at least one item, which might even have more fireworks.
I did not look today, but Demir, do you have anything? You have two?
No, there's two items.
Oh, there's two items, because that's counting the one we know is going to be on there, right? Okay. So, just two so far. I won't be anything to it, so maybe somebody else will.
I'll be a new commissioner as well. So obviously, if there is, I don't know if they'll be sworn in ahead of time, but we need to dedicate time on the agenda for that process.
It's kind of up to, it's either way. A lot of times it'll just be right before you start, or it could be done after you start, either way. But it won't take more than 2 or 3 minutes to do it anyway. So.
And then last, just on the microphones, as you know, Ms. Harding and the president had patient hearing. I don't know if you guys can hear me when I'm speaking.
I can hear you.
But the other members in the audience gave thumbs up. So,
yeah, I'm sorry, I never saw him motion.
He motioned when I said I just want to throw in our process about we're a recommending body on these items, and that's when he rose his hand. And so, okay.
I think he was referring, though, to like.
Okay. So, just in advance, I know the staff's really good at advancing your August 5th meeting. Just, you guys are aware. But thank you for providing the backup plan. On that. Anything else from the commission you want to bring up this evening? Pretty quicker than it would have been if there was a fourth item. A staff, any last call? Thank you, Mr. Greenwood, for being here for sharing tonight. Mr. Greenwood, you're really quiet tonight, so I'd like to thank you. You're 3 for 3 since you've been in that role. So.
I picked up the mic a couple of times, but the staff answered it before I needed to. So.
I heard your voice. There we go. We're good. All right. Last call?